I'm Rachel Greenberg, and this is Volta Insider, here at the March for Science.
Inspired by the Women's March in January, thousands of people came to Washington, D.C. this Earth Day to speak out on the importance of science and research. It was billed as a nonpartisan event, but many attendees and speakers had political messages for U.S. lawmakers, and especially for President Trump.
Many people, that guy over there, and yeah, by the way, he's actually over there. Hi.
Musician and producer Questlove, a co-host of the pre-march rally, held on the grounds of the Washington Monument.
It was frustrating to watch as certain forces in our society try to squelch science or their refusal to believe in it or propose alternative realities and facts, alternative facts, whatever that bullshit is. All this works against science, and we need to work for science.
This is about last November's election. Did America somehow vote to melt the polar ice caps and kill the coral reefs and acidify the oceans?
No!
Did we vote to reduce the EPA's research budget by a whopping 42%?
No!
Dennis Hayes co-founded the first Earth Day in 1970. He had plenty to say about what he believes is the president's anti-science budget.
It's now crystal clear that the man who lives right there did not come here to drain the swamp. He's filling the swamp to overflowing with conflicts of interest, with a White House that reeks of greed and sleaze and mendacity. America has had 45 presidents, but we have never before had a president who was completely indifferent to the truth. Donald Trump makes Richard Nixon look like Diogenes.
As much as it was about sending a message, this was also a day to inspire people of all ages to recognize the significance of science in our lives.
Go science!
Megan Smith is the former White House Chief Technology Officer.
Let's fight cynicism. Let's lift each other up. And let's go solve the hardest problems in the world together. The universe doesn't separate the subjects. It's not like there's technical people and non-technical people. It's just us. It's just us connected. So let's use that internet to work together, collaborate, and let's make sure that we get this government to lift up and support science technology funding and all of you to solve the things that we would solve together. Thank you!
Mona Hannah Atisha is a pediatrician who exposed the water crisis in Flint, Michigan.
I am marching for our smart, our strong, our resilient, our beautiful Flint kids. They inspire me to continue to use science every day to make sure that their tomorrows are bright as ever. And I want you to meet one of our amazing Flint kids. And I hope that she and little girls just like her become scientists. But this little one has her eyes on that house, the White House, in 2044. So I want you guys to give a warm welcome to Mari Kopany, also known to the world as Little Miss Flint.
Over 8,000 kids under age 6 exposed to lead. Listen to me, when we don't believe in science, and especially when our government doesn't believe in science, kids get hurt.
In addition to the main stage speakers, there were teach-in tents organized by the Earth Day Network and sponsors of the march. Here, people could listen to talks about local environmental issues and civic involvement.
I'm Bob Hirshon. I'm Program Director for Technology and Learning at the American Association for the Advancement of Science, or AAAS.
It's pretty important. What do you guys do there?
So we're the world's oldest, largest general science society. We started in 1848, and we're probably best known for publishing Science magazine every week since the 1800s. But we do so much more, and really, it's a society for professional scientists, but it's also for getting the word out to the public, communicating the importance of science, and so we're very involved in that, and that's why we're sponsors and partners on this March for Science.
So what kind of events are you guys hosting here today?
Well, so we started with a pre-rally rally at the headquarters, so we had hundreds of people there getting ready, hearing from a lot of the different groups that are going to be presenting here, and then, actually that's going on right now, and then they'll be marching down here to participate in the program, and late we had a stand-up for science, stand-up comedy show last night, all sorts of learning how to communicate science better. So we had presentations on helping scientists get the message out about the importance of the work they do.
And what do you hope is the outcome of this march, either in policy or public opinion?
Well, both, you know, both in policy and public opinion, we're hoping this will make a difference, and that this is just the start of getting more people more active in helping to advocate for science, and we do a lot of educational programs, so we're trying to get young people involved in science more seeing how science touches their life. We have a Science in My Life program, so kids can sort of see, yeah, science is all these really cool things that are all around me and that I like, and there are video games, and it's medicine, and it's food, and it's water, and it's, you know, not just someone in a lab coat. So we're going to move forward with that message after this. We hope this is just the start.
Definitely. And if there's one piece of advice you have for young scientists trying to either get in the field or communicate better, what would that be?
Find out what really interests you, because you can't think of anything that doesn't have something to do with science. It could be materials, it could be mechanical things, it could be, it's more than just, you know, chemicals in a lab. Though there's nothing wrong with working with chemicals in the lab, that's a really cool thing too. And find what really gets you passionate, because you really need that to, you know, it's the sort of thing where it's a lot of work if you think of it as work, but if you're passionate about it, it's not work at all, it's fun, and you get to do the funnest thing that you could possibly think of every day and get paid for it. So that's what I'd tell younger kids.
That's some great advice. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Sure, thank you.
Erin Iverson from Cornell University gave a talk on behalf of the Nature Conservancy.
Did you talk about pollination?
Yes, yep. Yeah, so I talked about basically how we can improve habitat for pollinators at a local level, like at our own houses or farms, but also at this broad landscape level, so going out. A honeybee forages 5 kilometers from its hive, so you got to think of this broad scale, not just what's right around the hive, but what's in the whole landscape. So that's what I'm researching.
One tent that caught my eye was called Poets for Science.
My name is David Hassler. I'm the director of the Wick Poetry Center at Kent State University.
So could you tell us about this tent you have going on here, Poets for Science?
Yeah, well, this has been a real labor of love and something that we've done very quickly. It was literally only 6 weeks ago that Jane Hirschfield, a wonderful poet, environmentalist, contacted me and said that she had this great idea for a Poets for Science presence at the March for Science, and could the Wick Poetry Center help in any way?
That's incredible. Is Poets for Science just oriented towards this march, or is it a larger organization?
So we quickly have realized that even though this was an idea of Jane's 6 weeks ago, we realize this is going to have a life of its own beyond the march. We have 23 banners that we designed, 7-foot banners of poems curated by Jane, and we'd love for that exhibit of banners to travel around the country to science museums and to communities, and on an educational level to encourage students to come to not only view the poems and read them and view the banners, but then to do this emerge activity, which is a process that we are encouraging, where we've taken scientific texts from each of the rally speakers, printed 6x9 cards, and with instructions on the back, encourage people to cross out words so that other words emerge, the ones they choose, and make a found poem out of that text.
Well, that sounds fun.
And then they can upload with a photo that poem onto our hashtag Poets for Science Twitter feed. It's an online gallery updated every 10 minutes, and we have over 300 submissions right now of poems about science.
Wow, that's really incredible. You talked about these big posters up here. Do you have a favorite poem on these posters?
You know, I think On the Fifth Day, which is a poem that Jane Hirschfield wrote, that I think actually triggered this whole it got circulated among scientists. And because of that, she approached the March for Science and asked if she could participate and help to build a larger effort, which this has become.
That's really incredible.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you. Yeah.
March for Science organizers say over 600 groups signed up to hold sister marches across the country and around the world.
It's a rainy day, but it hasn't dampened anyone's spirits.
We've got the two hemispheres here.
I've been joking today that there's a 100% chance of brainstorming.
While the Women's March made pussy hats famous, a lot of people came to this march wearing knitted caps that look like brains.
I'm Heather McKenzie, and I'm an educator.
I'm Quinn Emmering, and I'm a wildlife biologist.
And are you guys from D.C., or did you travel in?
We're from the area.
Yep.
So why did you come today?
To stand up for facts and for using reason and saving science, because I feel like it's getting defunded and discredited, and I'm here to stand up for it.
Same thing, various environmental regulations are under threat, ESA, potentially NEPA, all these different environmental regulations that are super important for protecting our environment. I work for a local regulatory agency, so it's just really important to stand up against what's going on. So the silencing of various agencies is just horrendous.
Yeah. Many doctors, nurses, and scientists wore lab coats, and there were plenty of clever, handmade signs.
I'm Jennifer Braverman, and I'm a doctor in Pittsburgh.
I'm Chioke Harris, and I'm an engineer in Pittsburgh.
So what brought you guys down here?
We believe science is important.
Science is really the way we make our world a better place.
And can you tell us a little bit about what's on your signs?
Sure. I'm a maternal fetal medicine doctor, and so we help take care of women with high-risk pregnancies, and we do that with science.
And I wanted to remind people that federal investment in science R&D has made a lot of really significant impacts on the way we live in our world. So I just want to remind people that it's not just like bizarre esoteric stuff. Like, the government and our taxpayer dollars have really been invested in really transformative technologies and research.
Another sign caught my eye. It read, Je suis science, and was carried by Navy Captain John Zimmerman, who will be retiring soon from active duty.
Science has been my life. I've been a submariner, so I've been involved in nuclear engineering and principles of science for my entire life. And I just feel really strongly that if we support science, if we're not afraid to figure out what the truth actually is, we'll be great. I always want to bring the data to the problem. I don't want to hear stories. I don't want to hear alternative facts. No, there's only facts. And so that's why I believe so strongly in what we're doing here today.
That's so great. So could you tell us a bit about the front of your sign? Because it's
sure.
French.
So, Je suis science. It refers to the Charlie Hebdo terrorist attack on that publication. It was a sign of support for that organization, meaning I am Charlie or I support Charlie. So I'm saying I am science. I support science, and I just think it's so important for all of us to have this message of unity around the truth, which is what I think science really brings to us.
That's wonderful. And if there's any advice you'd have for young people going into either science in general or
yeah.
want to work on submarines,
yeah.
what piece of advice would you give them?
Don't be afraid to ask why. Never be afraid to ask why. Don't just listen to simple little Twitter stories or a few sound bites. Ask why, get to the data, figure it out yourself. Your opinion really matters. I just believe very, very strongly about that. It's okay for us to be wrong. It's not okay to not pursue the truth. It's not okay not to believe in science and everything that it brings us. So go after it. Ask why. Don't just listen to simple stories.
And has the Trump presidency motivated you more, or?
It has. I really, you know, alternative facts. I mean, Kelly Conway, there you go. There aren't any alternative facts, Kelly. There's just the facts. And, you know, do we want to be a country like North Korea that whatever Kim Jong-un says, everybody has to support that, whatever the heck comes out of his mouth? We don't want to be that type of country. We don't want to have a fearless leader. We want a leader. We want a leader that bases his decisions on facts and science. And so I think that's extremely important. I respect the Trump supporters that were hoping that President Trump might make us a better country. I respect that, because I know that's what many of them truly believe. Mm-hmm. But they need to ask tough questions. They need to make sure that we're basing our decisions on real information, real data, real science, not just a bunch of baloney, not just a bunch of few Twitter feeds. Let's get to the truth. And if we get to the truth, we're going to be great, and the country actually will come together.
Great. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
You bet.
Crowd favorite Bill Nye, a mechanical engineer known for his TV show, The Science Guy, is an honorary co-chair of the March for Science.
Greetings! Greetings, fellow citizens!
He basically summed up what a lot of people were feeling today when he told lawmakers that science is for all, and that science made America great.
Some may consider science the purview of a special or separate type of citizen, one who pursues natural facts and generates numerical models for their own sakes. But our numbers here today show the world that science is for all. Our lawmakers must know and accept that science serves every one of us, every citizen of every nation and society. Science must shape policy. Science is universal. Science brings out the best in us. With an informed, optimistic view of the future, together, we can, dare I say it, save the world!
Despite the rain, it was a peaceful march down Constitution Avenue to the U.S. Capitol. It was a sea of umbrellas, soaking wet signs, and a lot of smiles. A popular sign today read, "Science, not silence." I'm Rachel Greenberg, and this is Volta Insider. Thank you for listening, and thank you to HeadEd Media.